First of all, let us look at the definition of a company with investment business. A company with investment business is defined in the legislation as a company whose business consists wholly or partly in the making of investments.
This is given by the Corporation Taxes Act 2009, section 1218.
An investment business is more than simply holding investments or receiving investment income. It is a business of making investments. This definition is particularly relevant in relation to claiming relief for management expenses.
The term investment company is now only relevant when considering which companies may claim relief against income for capital losses on sales of certain shares under CTA 2010, section 68. An investment company is a company whose business consists wholly or mainly in the making of investments and the principal part of whose income is derived therefrom. This is given by CTA 2010, section 90, subsection 1.
So what is a business of making investments? The revenue, in their guidance, tell us to look at the totality of the company's functions and activities, as given by Tax Bulletin Issue number 19. We are trying to identify a business of making investments. For example, let us take a flat management company that owns the freehold of a block of flats, and all the owners have a share in the company. This type of company would not be treated as a company with investment business, as its business is not that of making investments. Its business is the provision of management services. However, in the case of Cook and the Medway Housing Society Limited in 1997, it was held that a housing association purchasing property from a local authority and receiving rental income with the aim of applying any profits to either buy more property or pass it on to charity was an investment company because it had a business of making investments and had an intention of making a profitable return. It did not matter that the return was never going to be paid to the shareholders. The intention was enough for investment company status to apply. Therefore, the company did obtain relief for its management expenses.
We can contrast this with the case of Tinton Close Residence Society Limited. In 1995, the company owned and managed an estate that consisted of 21 houses, one flat, and 22 lock-up garages. The company's income consisted of members' subscriptions and ground rents. It was held that the main function and activity of the company was the management and maintenance of the property. Although it had been formed to purchase land, it was not for the purpose of turning the land to profit. In the case of Jarrett vs. O'Neill and Brennan Construction Limited, it was held that a company depositing funds into a bank account and receiving interest did not constitute a business, and therefore, for associated company purposes, it was treated as dormant.
The ability to claim relief for management expenses includes companies with an investment business, i.e., not just those companies qualifying as investment companies, and also non-UK resident companies. The extension to companies with an investment business will be important for companies who hold shares in subsidiaries, as well as having their own trade. Management expenses are deductible against the total profits of a company with an investment business. The expenses will be deducted based on when they are debited in the accounts, and those accounts must be drawn up in accordance with GAAP. Where the period of account exceeds 12 months, management expenses will be time apportioned. No expenses can be deducted as management expenses if they are otherwise deductible for tax. Expenses of a capital nature are not management expenses, unless they relate to capital allowances. There is statutory authority to exclude capital expenditure from management expenses. This has arisen as a result of case law in this area. Expenses will only qualify for a deduction to the extent that they are made in respect of the company's investment business, and to the extent that they are not made for an unallowable purpose. An investment is held for an unallowable purpose to the extent that it is not held for a business
or other commercial purpose, or is held for activities outside the charge to corporation tax. This will exclude investments held for social or recreational purposes, and investments of a non-resident company with a permanent establishment in the UK, if the investment is not part of the business of the permanent establishment. Surplus capital allowances are added to management expenses. Let us now look at management expenses. These are general costs of running an investment company, which will include commissions paid to agents or managing particular investments, like commissions paid to stockbrokers for managing the portfolio of shares. Capital allowances are deductible on plant used to manage the investments, such as computer equipment used to monitor the progress of the investments. Reasonable salaries are deductible. These include redundancy costs. We must be careful here. The revenue may seek to disallow excessive directors' remuneration, where it cannot be justified, given the amount of input the directors have in managing the investments, against the return derived from them. If the revenue feel the amount is excessive, they will seek to disallow some management expenses, but will still tax the directors' earnings and subject the company to Class 1 secondary national insurance on the salary being paid. In practice, this rarely happens, and will only be applied in very exceptional circumstances, but nonetheless, it is something we would need to watch. Premises costs are allowable. For instance, the offices used to manage the investments and costs relating to it, and things like audit and accountancy, and various other unavoidable costs. It should be noted that commitment fees and guarantee commissions are part of the cost of raising loans, and should not be treated as a management expense. These costs will be dealt with under the loan relationship rules. Bear in mind, of course, that any expenses relating to specific income must be set against that source only.
The most relevant example here are UK property business expenses. Expenses relating specifically to the properties being let out must be set against the UK property business income, not treated as a management expense. All intangible fixed assets held by an investment company will be held for non-trading purposes. Thus, royalty payments and receipts will be dealt with under the rules relating to intangible fixed assets.
So, what relief can the company obtain for these management expenses? Management expenses are automatically set against income in the current accounting period. This relief is automatic and compulsory. In other words, we cannot elect into the relief, and we cannot elect out of it. Where we have management expenses, they must be set against the income. Where the management expenses exceed the income in the current period, they are excess or unrelieved.
If the company is part of a group, they may be transferred to a fellow 75% owned company, upon making a claim, or failing that, carried forward and set against future income and gains of the company. We must also be aware of the change in ownership provisions of a company with investment business. Anti-avoidance provisions apply to prevent the carry forward of excess management expenses in prescribed circumstances. What are these circumstances?
If in the 3 years leading up to the change in ownership, and in the 3 years following the change in ownership, there has been a major change in the type of investments held, then excess management expenses will be stopped at the date of change in ownership. Let us look at an example. Let us say that before the change in ownership, the company held quoted securities and, following the change, it held commercial property. The revenue would view this as a major change in the type of investment held. However, let us say that before the change of ownership, the company held quoted securities, but afterwards, it held a different portfolio of quoted securities. So it sold the previous holdings and replaced them with different ones. This is unlikely to be treated as a major change, because the company essentially is still holding the same type of investments, that being quoted securities.
Other circumstances where the anti-avoidance provisions apply are when a company's activities are small and negligible prior to the change in ownership, and they are followed by a considerable revival. In this case, excess management expenses will stop at the date of the change.
This will be based on the facts and degree in each individual case. But we need to look at the number of transactions taking place each year, before and after the change in ownership.
In addition, a significant increase in the capital of the company in the 3 years immediately following the change of ownership will give rise to a loss of excess management expenses. So what is a significant increase? This is the lower of a doubling of capital in the first 3 years, or if the capital increases by £1 million in the first 3 years. Let us illustrate this.
Assume the share capital of the company before the change of ownership is £200,000, and in the first 3 years following the change, it increases to £500,000. The capital has more than doubled, and therefore it has given rise to a significant change. Taking another company, let us say its share capital before the change is £2 million, and in the 3 years following the change, it increases to £3 million. Although the capital has not doubled, it has increased by £1 million, and this will be seen as a significant increase, and excess management expenses will be lost.
Let us look at the rules relating to loan interest.
Interest paid by companies with investment business on loans taken out to purchase investments is a loan relationship debit. The tax treatment and relief for loan relationship debits is illustrated in the loan relationship session. Remember, it is never treated as a property business expense or a management expense.
Let us conclude this session by considering a number of sundry issues.
Firstly, close investment holding companies. Remember that if a close company, i.e. under the control of five or fewer shareholders, does not exist wholly or mainly to carry on a trade or to let land to unconnected persons, all of its profits are charged at the full rate of corporation tax, regardless of its size.
Finally, losses on sale of shares. Where an investment company makes a capital loss on the disposal of subscriber shares in certain qualifying companies, it is allowed to claim to set that capital loss against income. The capital loss can be set against income for the accounting period of the loss, and, if necessary, any previous accounting period ending in the 12 months before the start of the accounting period of the loss. This loss relief is claimed before any other deductions, including management expenses and charges. To be able to make the claim, the company must be an investment company, and have been so throughout a continuous period of 6 years. If this is not the case, it must not previously have been a trading company. The company must have subscribed for shares in a qualifying trading company which has not been associated with it from the date of subscription to the date of disposal.
Note that this relief can only be claimed by investment companies. It does not extend to companies with an investment business.
That concludes this lecture on investment companies.